One of the most important themes in preaching the gospel is that we stay within the boundaries that God has given us in the scriptures. Unfortunately, in our world today, there are many people who don't want to hear about the lines in the scriptures. They want to be able to live their lives as they see fit. And so this lesson is kind of designed to see the inconsistencies that those people in the spiritual realm who want to pretty well pick and choose how they do things compared to nearly every other realm of life. And so let's just start with sports. And I know some of you are not sports fans and some of you are, but I think we can make a very important point, and that is that every sport has lines and it has boundaries. If you want to be a baseball player, then you have to learn these boundaries and you have to understand them or you're going to make mistakes. A pitcher needs to know the difference between where a ball is and where a strike is, and of course there's boundaries for that. And the people who are hitting the ball need to know the difference between the foul line and the fair line. And so baseball has these things, and so does football. And so does basketball, and so does golf. And if we want to understand the game, we have to understand the boundaries. I don't like basketball. I've never watched it. I don't understand. I don't understand the lines. I don't understand the boundaries, and I really don't care. But I do know about football because I'm interested in that. And there's other boundaries. But the reason I use sports is because so does Paul, so does the Holy Spirit. He says if a man contends in the games, he's not crowned except he's contended lawfully. Now the games Paul's talking about are the Olympic Games. And they too have boundaries. They have boundaries of what is fair and what is dishonest. They have boundaries of what is according to the rules and what's not according to the rules. And so when we're watching the Olympics, we're all intensely interested in the boundaries and the rules and fair play. And so we all understand that a critical score or play that might win or lose the game is going to be closely scrutinized. And if they put their foot on the line or if the ball went a little bit across the line, it's not going to count. So Paul's not speaking about sports, though. He's discussing our need to stay within the boundaries of the scriptures. And so when we talk about the boundaries, when we talk about not going beyond, not adding to, not taking from, we're not being overly meticulous. We are simply carrying over from the sports realm and really all realms, including physics and chemistry and all of the other areas of disciplines of life, banking and everything else, there's lines. There's correct answers and right answers and wrong answers. These are things that we have to understand. So we have created a group of people we call the referees, the umpires, and the judges who closely watch the game, and they take care of these things. And Paul says we have the same problem. Maybe not problem, that's not really the right word, but we have the same concern. Paul said, I buffet my body, make it my slave. Lest possibly, after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, that's a very somber thing for an apostle to say. For an apostle to say, I could be disqualified. For an apostle to reveal that even with the Holy Spirit, and even with the ability to write scripture, he still understands the boundaries between right and wrong, good and evil, just and unjust, righteous and unrighteous. And not even his faith and not even his service to God can compensate for the fact that if he doesn't buffet his body and stay within the lines, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's possessions or wife, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Pretty simple lines. There's a line we don't cross. Paul had the same situations in his own personal life. We don't know specifically what Paul's sins were. Most of us don't know specifically what others' sins in the congregation are. But we know. And so when the preacher's preaching on, quote, our weakness, we need to pay special attention to find out exactly where the lines are so we can stay away from them. Paul said in chapter 13, make no provisions to the flesh. There's a line the flesh has to remain within. Put it to death. Don't let it get past a certain point. So disqualification is possible. You ever watch a football player catching that ball? He knows he's near the line and he just falls flat on his face. Why does he fall flat on his face? Because he knows that if that foot touches the line, that play is going to be disqualified. Now, he puts a lot of effort into that. And Paul puts a lot of effort into that. And we all need to be thinking along those lines. This isn't something that we put on the first day of the week and we take off on Monday. Actually, it's the other way around. A lot of people will go to their job carefully concerned about every line and every boundary that there is, because they understand that if they cross those boundaries, you have an engineer who's designing a plane and he's got to deal with physics and he can't cross certain lines or that plane's going to crash. And the same thing is true with medications. The pharmacist needs to realize there's lines and he can't cross those lines. And then he goes to church services and he says, well, now it doesn't matter what you believe and now it doesn't matter what you do. And you say to yourself, what kind of inconsistent thinking is that? What kind of inconsistent thinking is it for a woman to bake something and meticulously look at the lines and stay within the lines on the measuring cup, because she understands that the meal is not going to turn out right if they aren't followed precisely? Then they come to church services and the preacher's preaching on how to precisely worship or how to precisely be saved, and all of a sudden the people don't care about that. And God sees that. God sees when our own personal success is important to us, but our spiritual relationship with Him is not. And so a man who works all day, staying within the lines, then comes home and his wife has certain expectations and he doesn't care. He's going to cross all the lines. She knows the problem. But it isn't just sports. As I said a moment ago, there are pattern lines for sewing. There are measuring cups for cooking. There are borders of a nation in which we become an alien or a citizen. There are lines on a road, even a coloring book. What's the thing you tell your children? Stay within the lines. Why? Well, I'm not proud of that picture. If my mom brings a picture to me that I did 5 years old and it's just all over the place, I'll throw it away. But if it's all within the lines, now I'm happy with it because I kept it the way that it ought to be. Jesus says that's how the path leading to life is. He says that there are two lines for the gate and they're not broad. You have to pass through a gate. We see the door back there. We have a double door, which makes it nice because there's a larger boundary. If we have to bring something big in here, we can open both the doors. But some homes, they don't have big doors. There's a boundary and they have to take the door off in order to bring something in, or they can't bring it at all. So Jesus says there's a door leading to eternal life. There is a gate. It's not a broad gate. You can't just bring anything in. You can't do anything but what the Lord asked you to do. And there's no inconsistency in this. If I see someone trying to push a piano through a door and it'll never fit, and I tell them, you're not going to get that piano through that door. And they say, who are you? We'll figure out a way. Well, you walk away shaking your head because you know there is no way. They can't get that in there unless they break the door open or they break the piano down. So enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leads to life, and few are they that find it. Now, those of us who like to watch baseball, we sometimes see these referees and the announcer will say, this guy's got a pretty broad strike zone, or he's got a pretty broad ball zone. What he means is normally it's supposed to be your chest and your knees, and if the ball's in there, then it's going to be a strike. If it's outside of there, it's going to be a ball. The pitcher knows he's got to get that ball within the line or he's going to be walking every... And Jesus says the same thing is true. Verse 14, narrow is the gate, and difficult the way that leads unto life, and few are they that find it. Now, you ask a pharmacist, you ask a physicist, you ask someone who has a job where he has to stay within the lines. You ask a bus driver, do we need to stay within the lines or can we just straddle the line? No, you have to stay within the lines. You can't straddle the lines. So when we come to church services, the preacher's saying the same thing as your boss at work, or the preacher's saying the same thing as your mother did when you were learning how to cook or learning how to sew, or how the driver instructor taught you when you were learning how to drive, or how your coach instructed you when you were learning the game and learning the rules and the boundaries and the lines. And then we come to church services, and when the preacher does the same thing, we should be just as happy. We should be just as interested. If you want to be good at something, you have to find the boundaries of success and failure. And every occupation has them. And those of us who have any sense at all are going to learn what they are. And we're going to stay within them. And Jesus isn't saying anything different. There's nothing unusual or unfair or more difficult about this than there is anything else in life. If a guy's going to land a plane, he better stay within the lines. If a guy's going to be driving a car, he needs to stay within the lines. And so it's every realm of life. So the narrow gate, the wide gate, the broad way leading to destruction, many going in that way. So don't follow the crowd, follow the scriptures. Well, that sounds a little narrow-minded. Well, unfortunately, it is narrow-minded. Just like it's narrow-minded in every other realm of life. You just can't do whatever you want to do in any realm of life and have success. And many of the things, if we do them wrong, we're going to die. You say, well, that's not fair. It's not fair that I have to drive on a road and stay within the lines. We should be able to do whatever we want. Well, try it. If you try it, you won't live very long. And many occupations are that way. So when we talk about lines and boundaries, there just is no realm where it isn't true. What do they say? Almost is only good for, and many of you can complete that, horseshoes and hand grenades. And I've always wondered, why horseshoes? You got to get it on that ring. But anyway, the point is, almost is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it on your job. It's not going to cut it on your driving. It's not going to cut it on your measuring for whatever it is that you're doing. We have a saying in the carpentry business, measure twice, cut once. Why? Because that line matters. If you cut it wrong, the other day I was in a hurry. I'd gone out and bought a special piece of wood, expensive piece of wood. And I marked it. I got it right on the line, but it was the wrong line. So I had to go buy another piece. And what are you going to do? That's not fair. Well, no, it's fair. I had to repent, and then I had to bring forth works worthy of repentance. And we all do that, because that's what matters. That line on your gas gauge, it makes a big difference. You don't want the gate. You don't want it to pass that line. You're going to run out of gas. So every realm, every discipline, every hobby, every relationship has boundaries. And then we come into the church, and multitudes of people don't want any boundaries there. But they're the ones that are being inconsistent. We're being consistent. We're doing the same thing with the Lord that we're doing with every other aspect of our life. We understand that when somebody says, you can't pass this line, you can't pass the line. And we understand that consequences are going to follow. So staying within the lines creates honesty and integrity and excellence and success. And failure and disqualification is always the next step. Whenever we cross the line. That's why these football players fall flat on their face. Because they want to win. Paul said the same thing. I'm going to discipline my body. Why? Because those who are athletes exercise self-control in all things. There's a line they have to get to. When you're running a race, there's a finish line. You stop before the finish line, you're not going to win the race. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ hath not God. Now, the reason I'm using the Old King or the Old American Standard Version, which has the goeth and the hath, is because I like the way the translators got it. They got it right on. If you go onward and don't stay in the lines and boundaries of the teachings of Christ, I don't know how God could make it any clearer. You don't have God. Just like if you don't stay within the lines when you're making a pattern, you won't have a dress or you won't have a shirt. You just have a bunch of fabric that's all sewed together, but it doesn't fit and you can't do anything. So he that abides in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. So if you stay within the lines, you have a relationship with God. You have fellowship with God. If you cross the lines, you may disqualify. Wow, that's not fair. My preacher, he's just being so meticulous. Well, so's the pharmacist, so's the physicist, so's the teacher in school. I mean, there's a check mark. You get it right or you get it wrong. There's lines. There's lines in every realm of life. And we can't enter the spiritual realm and say, well, all of a sudden, the God who made all the other things in this life and all the other things, if you get too close to the line on a cliff and you fall off the cliff, we all know what's going to happen. Is that fair? Well, we don't even talk about it being fair. It's just the way it is. And the same thing here. If we go before God on the judgment day, we didn't stay in the lines, and God says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who didn't stay within the lines of righteousness. We'd get fired from our job. We'd get a ticket if we were driving. We would have the husband or wife would say, what did you make here if we didn't do it right in cooking? And then we come to the Lord and suddenly that doesn't apply anymore. Does that make any sense? Does it make sense that we could do with the scriptures what we can't do on the job, what we can't do in school, what we can't do with our hobbies, what we can't do with our sports, but suddenly we come to church, all that goes out the window. Brethren, there's a lot of churches today who are teaching there's no boundaries in the Lord's kingdom. There are no boundaries. Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you do as long as you're sincere. Well, if a baseball player was told that or a football player, he'd be cut from the team. That was his conviction. And if a driver is constantly not staying within the lines, he's going to lose his license. And suddenly we come to the church and it's different. These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things which are written. There's a boundary there. There's a boundary, and God says, I don't want you to pass it. Eve passed a boundary. She was told, there's a circle around this tree. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Well, she touched it and she ate it. Was it fair that the world was cursed? Was it fair that she brought death to the human race and suffering and sorrow and grief? Yeah, it's fair. You're going to argue with God? This isn't fair. What good is that going to do? You're arguing against reality. And the same thing is true with the scriptures. Moses was given some boundaries. He was told, every article in the temple, I've shown you a pattern. I want it exactly like the pattern. We find out later it's because it's in heaven already. The Hebrew writer tells us that everything in that tabernacle represents something that's in existence in heaven. Because we have a tabernacle that is not in this creation. So Moses has a line, a pattern, just like the mother is going to tell her child when she's learned teaching her how to sew. Just like a cook who's gone to school or gone into a trade where he's going to be a cook or he's going to be a carpenter or he's going to be a plumber or he's going to be, doesn't matter what it is. This does not stop in any realm of life. So why would we expect that it would stop in the scriptures? And you and I understand that. And the reason I'm preaching this is not because I feel like you're about to break those boundaries, but we have to be convinced of these things so that we can go out and teach others. And we have to have arguments like this sometimes when they call us narrow-minded. You tell them, you're a carpenter. Are you narrow-minded when you cut on the line? You're a plumber when you cut the pipe. Are you narrow-minded if it is just a little too short and won't fit and you can't weld it or solder it together? Is that narrow-minded? Is it narrow-minded as an electrician to know where the black line or the black wire goes and the white wire goes and the bare wire goes? Seek the old paths and the good way. Don't leave the ancient paths. When we're hiking in the mountains, there's a trail. get off the trail, sometimes you die. Sometimes you spend a week out in the wilderness. Well, that's not fair. Well, it may not be fair, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is in the scriptures. Don't move the ancient landmarks. So a successful relationship with God in the Old Testament was only found in the lines. And the same thing is true today. So Jesus' greatest controversy with the Pharisees was they wouldn't stay within the lines. God had given them lines and given them boundaries in the law, and they moved them and made new boundaries and new law. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me." This is a quotation of Isaiah. It's actually a quotation of God. "In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrine, the commandments of men." So there's a line. Line between what God reveals in the scriptures and what man has devised. And Jesus says, you cross that line and your worship is vain. So there's a lot of people today who are worshiping in vain. I was thinking about that this morning because a lot of us are sick and our singing is just not the best this morning. I'm not criticizing, just stating the fact. If somebody came in, we don't have instrumental music to cover all that. They're going to be shaking their heads. What's the matter with those people? But that's God's plan. We can't change God's plan. We have to stay within the lines. And if we don't like the way that it sounds, I don't like some medicines. They taste horrible. Why don't they make them taste better? Well, they could, but it wouldn't be that drug in you. You have to stay within the lines of whatever it is. And so laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. All too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you handed down. Now, that's exactly what's going to happen in any other realm if we modify the recipe or we change the line. When we send that product out, it's not going to work. People who work with computers, there's some very fine lines. You ever look at that motherboard and all the little transistors and you think to yourself, how in the world do they solder all those little pieces? Because if they cross the line, that computer's not going to work. You can't cross the line. When they make that silicone chip, it's got all kinds of lines in there. And if one of those lines intersects another or that line isn't in the right place, it's not going to work. Well, that's not fair. Making the word of God no effect through your tradition. The scriptures are more complicated than a computer, and they have to be hooked up right. If you have a surgeon who has to do some cutting, you want him to stay within the lines. You see the point? We understand that what we're doing with the scriptures is exactly what doctors do, and lawyers do, and bankers do, and plumbers do, and electricians do, and they are praised because they stay in line. And we will too on the judgment day, but maybe not so much now. The teachings of Christ are a boundary. Jesus said, "The word that I spoke will judge you in the last day." He said, "If you abide in my word, you will truly be my disciples and know the truth and be made free." Well, there's a boundary. The word of Jesus, the words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the rest of the New Testament. Those are the lines. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, "Those of you who are spiritual or think you're a prophet, you need to acknowledge that my writings are the commands of God." There's a line there. Paul's writings are different. If I tell you, here's what I think we should do in the church, but it doesn't fit with what Paul said you should do in the church. Well, Paul's writings are the teachings of Christ. As John said, "Whosoever goeth onward and abides not in the teachings of Christ has not God." You say, "Well, Alan, if you wrote those things, we wouldn't follow you." Well, there's a lot of people following Calvin today. There's a lot of people following Luther and the Pope today. They're not within the lines, but they're being followed, just like the Pharisees were, and Jesus had to deal with that. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount that there's a line. You can hear these words of mine, you can do them, or you cannot do them. And it's the boundary between building on rock and building on sand. Every home has a foundation. And the wood has to be on the foundation. If they build that wall and the wall is just barely teetering on the foundation, we're not going to be happy with that. And he'd come back and say, "Well, it's pretty close. Well, I kind of want it a little closer than that because this house isn't going to last, not on a foundation." Well, Jesus said there's a boundary between his foundation too. Some of us, we're just not quite on the rock. We've allowed our own human thinking or our own habits or our own emotions or our own lusts to shift us a little bit. Paul says that's going to bring disqualification. You're not going to be crowned unless you contend according to the rules. So every law of God is a boundary. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. There's a boundary there. And God's watching what we're going to do with that boundary. Just like the teacher who's cooking, maybe teaching you how to cook, maybe goes around and says, all right, all of you put your measuring cup and shake it so I can go by and look. And some of them are this much over and some of them are this much too short. And the teacher has to say, look, are you serious? You want to learn how to do this? Can't you see that line? Get those things right on the line. Ah, that teacher, too meticulous. Let's find another teacher. Well, you can find another teacher. But you're never going to have success. Because you can't have success unless you stay within the lines. So God's looking. When we allow God to direct our paths, we will always be within the lines. When we start leaning on our own understanding, that's why when a preacher preaches, he's always quoting the scriptures. So you can make the decision. Is this guy within the lines or not? He's telling me this is the verse. Then he's making these applications. I don't see the applications in that verse. Well, they may not be there. And if they're not, that preacher needs to be talked to. Because, as I said, if you have a pharmacy that's actually, let's forget the pharmacy, let's go all the way back to the company that's making the drugs and putting the recipes together. And they make a new hire. And the new hire, he's just not meticulous. He's not worried about those lines. He's not going to last because people are going to die or lawsuits are going to come. Well, that's not fair. We should be able to do whatever we want to do and people should just accommodate us. Well, when people start dropping over dead and we say, well, I still want to do what I want to do, well, then you know what kind of person that is. That's a person who doesn't care about other people, a person who doesn't care about results. Now, if that's true, in every other realm of life, when I hire a plumber or I hire a carpenter, when I get done, I come back in there and he's got big gaps and all the molding and the walls don't fit together and they've got drafts because the windows aren't in plumb and square. And the guy says, man, I did a good job, didn't I? Well, nothing's within the lines. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's in the lines. God drew a line, again, around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Around worship for Cain and Abel. A line around the materials and dimensions of the ark. A line around what Abraham had to do and Isaac and Jacob and the children of Israel and Christians. Perfectly fair. Perfectly sensible. Exactly the same as every other discipline and hobby and sport and cooking and whatever you go. And then we read these things and say, that's not fair. Anyone who stayed within the lines succeeds and is praised. Those who go outside the lines are failed and condemned. Think about Nadab and Abihu. They brought a fire. It wasn't in the boundary. God struck them dead. Burned them up. Because they did that which they weren't commanded to do. God hadn't said to use that. And God destroyed them. Okay, I think that's my last slide. Any of this not make sense to us? As members of the Lord's church trying to be Christians, does it not make sense that you do the same thing with the scriptures that you're going to do tomorrow when you go to work? That you're going to do this afternoon when you drive home? That you're going to do with whatever hobbies or as you're watching the sports this afternoon and you're going to expect those people to stay within the lines. I can tell you that a fan is incredibly irritated when he can see that it's not on the line. Guy's foot's off the lane. He's disqualified and the referee says, no, it's going to stand. Well, I guess it depends. If it's your team, you're happy. But you shouldn't be because they didn't play according to the rules. So, as we pick up our songs this morning, we're going to sing number 303, and here's another line. There's snow that, you ever heard the expression, don't eat yellow snow? There's a line. When it comes down out of the sky, it's pure and clean. You can eat it. We were thirsty one day this week. There was some snow. Problem was, been on the ground for a week or two. I wasn't going to eat that. I want it to be like snow. I don't want it to be sullied. Any line we cross, morally, spiritually, ethically, doctrinally, whatever realm we do, whatever realm we cross, what we believe, what we practice. If you don't like moral and doctrinal, what we believe, what we practice. Some things you never do. Believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's nothing to do there. It's what's in your heart. So we have lines. Can't cross them. During the Lord's Supper, have lines. Here's what you're supposed to think about. When we're singing, have lines. Sing and make melody in your heart. If there's anyone in the audience who is not as consistent in their walk with God as they are on the job, I would suggest you repent, just like you would on your job. If you get it wrong on the job, you're not going to leave it, because be assured your sins will find you out. You don't do it right. Ask Rob what happens if he makes a mistake and he leaves it, and somebody comes in the next morning, flips the switch, and that hospital's burning. He says, "Wow, I didn't think it mattered." Well, you know what's going to matter. So as we sing this song, as we think about these things, if we need to make any changes in the way that we're living, in the way that we're practicing, in the way that we're believing, if we need to make that publicly known, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.